Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Made by Mamas, the podcast. I'm Zoe.
And I'm Georgia.
And we're here talking all things parenthood, tips and tricks,
products we love,
and brands that we can't live without. Let's get into it.
Hello.
Hello. How are you, friend?
I'm good. I mean, I was actually wondering if you would join this recording because you must be exhausted.
Exhausted for two reasons. Obviously, because I've had, a lot of work going on, but I'm not moaning about that because I just really enjoyed it. But the 2 a.m. wake-ups are brutal.
Yeah, I could. That's what I was thinking. I was like, if you've got up for a flight at 2 o'clock and then you can recover when you get to your destination, but you still do feel rubbish for like the next 48 hours. But I cannot imagine doing that for like, how many days straight did you do it for?
Yeah, I mean, a long time.
A lot of days.
A lot of days. But I spoke to James Stewart, who normally does the show. I was like, well, how do you even function? Because I felt like crap throughout the rest of the day. And he was like, well, I get back from home from work at 7 a.m. Then he said he goes straight to bed and then he starts his day at 10. So that's kind of how he runs it. But I was getting home, doing the packed lunches, doing the school runs, then, running Made by Mums with you, doing other bits and pieces and getting to sort of 1:30 and feeling awful, like jet lag awful, having to go to bed for an hour, then school run, dinners. It's not sustainable long term for me.
No. Oh my God, definitely not.
But then I thought you were also going to comment because I went out on Saturday night.
I saw that you went out. And what time did you go to bed and what time did you get up?
I went to bed at 5:30 in the morning and I got up at 7:45 for work.
It actually makes me feel sick. It literally makes me feel sick. I cannot. I don't. Oh, God, no. How did you do that? And then not only that, most people would find their life hard enough just having to, like, even feed and water themselves that day. But you actually had to host a radio show. Oh, my God. If anyone's listening to this and they heard that show, please, please, can you write in and let me know what it was like? I'm gutted I wasn't awake and listening to it.
My voice kept going like this. Zoe Hump, because it was sort of breaking, like the pain of what I was going through. And then at the end of every link, I was like this. And I had the alcohol sweats. Oh my God, I was in a terrible place yesterday. But I'm back now and I'm really glad. I so deserved a night out. I really, really, really enjoyed it. You had any wild nights out?
We haven't had any wild nights out, but I was saying to you earlier on the phone, like, I'm really glad that we can socialise. I'm so happy. Yeah. But I just can't do socialising like 3 days in a row anymore. I just can't. I need time by myself. It's my only child. James calls it only child syndrome. Yeah. OCS, he calls it. Oh, it's your OCS playing up. And I'm like, oh, yeah. Yes, it is.
It's your OCS playing up.
It's your OCS playing up. But I do, I can't function. Do you know what? I can't actually believe I'm telling people this.
Great. Give it to us.
We're supposed to have a parenting podcast. We're supposed to have our shit together. No. But on Saturday, we were at James's sister's and I forgot nappies, which was the first thing. So that was fine. Then I managed to find some in the car because there's always some in the car.
Yeah.
And then I ran out. So I basically lined Gigi's leggings with sanitary towels.
That's genius. When you say lined them, what did you do? Sew them in?
No. I can't sew.
Oh, right.
God. No, I just stuck them like all around the crotch area.
Oh my God, did they work? That's genius.
Well, yeah, I mean, it did work. So I thought I'd just share that tip if anyone runs out of nappies, but they've got plenty of sanitary
towels. The thing is that, you know, that our parents' generation, they made nappies with like tea towels or whatever they use.
Did they?
That's not the effect, but you could just, you get a tea towel, but surely it just goes straight out.
Oh, I mean, I don't know. But anyway, the sanitary towels sort of work.
No, well done. That's genius.
There we go. But yeah, I'm not kind of up with going out every day yet.
If you see Georgia on day three, she will be a wild human to you. No, I've had enough now. I don't want to socialise with you.
Yeah, please. I'm on a talking ban.
I can't wait till we catch up next week because you're going out. You've got a massive night. She's going to Bagatelle on Saturday night.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Well, Saturday day, actually, into the night.
Is that where they get the napkins around the head?
Swing the napkins around their head and dance on the tables. Yeah. Oh, anyone sees me there on Saturday, apologies in advance.
Please get a photo for any of our followers listening. Please. I need a photo. But we need to get into today's conversation.
We do.
And I think it's going to be a really lovely, upbeat chat because everything that we know about her on socials, she's always kind of smiling and positive, and she's just got like a proper like enigmatic energy, really, really upbeat. Married to a very well-known TV presenter in the country, but has really sort of established herself as, you know, a voice of her own on Instagram. And yeah, she's pregnant with number two as well.
She is. Yeah. I mean, if you're in need of a little lift this morning or... Yeah. Tonight, whenever you're listening, then do have a listen to this one because she just make you feel good.
Yeah.
It's just like chatting to a mate. It was
lovely, wasn't it? Yeah. Who are we talking to today, George?
Today we are chatting to Portia Jett.
So joining us on the podcast today, an absolute delight of a woman. I've only met her a couple of times, but every time I've met her, she's had this beaming smile on her face, which she's got today. So that's good. We know she's not in a bad mood. So that's a positive. Mummy to Roman. She's got one in oven. I don't know why I always have to go northern when I say it, but there you go. Mummy blogger, mummy influencer, wife to Ore Aduba. Her surname is not Jet, even though I just said it was. Today, joining us on the podcast is Portia Aduba. Yes!
Yay! Portia, not Jet. I mean, that's a great name to have.
Portia not Jet.
I know. I might change that on my Instagram page, actually. Portia, not Jet.
Not
Aduba.
Jet. Yes. It's confusing, though, for people seeing you as Portia Jet. You get it all the time.
Yeah, no, I do. Literally, like, hi, Portia Jet. I'm like, oh, no. That's my middle name. Aduba's my surname. Sorry, it's a bit confusing, but I just thought it sounded a bit more cooler, Portia Jet.
Yeah, no, I mean, it does sound cool, definitely.
Yeah.
How are you?
I'm really good. I am good. I'm tired.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure we all are, but I'm tired this time round with my second pregnancy, but I'm doing okay. I'm doing good.
How many weeks are you now, Portia?
I am 25 weeks. I don't know how that happened.
Wow.
Literally, it's gone by so quick. Everyone kept saying to me, your second pregnancy will go so quickly. You don't realise it. And I'm like, yeah, I'll see. Like thinking at like 10 weeks, I don't know, I'll see. My family were like, no, wait. And all of a sudden I said to Ori this morning, I'm 25 weeks.
Yeah.
You
know why though? Because second time round, no one really gives a shit about you.
That's true.
That's true. The first time round, people are like, oh, did you want a seat? Oh, can I get you this? And the second time round, they're like, oh, we've done this all before. It's like, no, it's the same feeling. Can you help me? No.
Yeah. Also, I feel like you don't indulge yourself as much the second time around either. Like maybe the first time you'd be like, oh, I need to relax. I need to put my feet up. And the second time you're like, well, I actually can't do that anymore because I've got someone else to look after. And I just don't, I just can't factor that in. Just got to get on with it.
Yeah. And I also feel a little bit like Ore is sort of more aware of, like, first time around, he was like very much more like sort of, I'd be like, oh, I'm really tired. He'd be like, oh, it's okay. Do you want me to get you this? Or, you know,
exactly.
Like second time around, he's like, oh, are you? Oh, okay. All right then. Well, if you could just do Roman's bath and then I'll help out. He's really helpful, but you know what I mean? Second time round, you can't get away with as much.
No, you can't. You can't. And you also, like Georgia said, there isn't that opportunity to like have, like people used to say to me, oh, go and have a nap. And I'd be like, yeah, I will, because I'm absolutely knackered. And now, you know, then you've got like a tiny one just going, mummy, 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 mummy. You're like, that's not my name. Leave me alone.
I know.
Need to sleep.
Now,
before we get into pregnancy, George, we want to ask about you guys getting together, because I think we've just got a bit of a crush on you as a couple.
Let's start at the beginning.
Well, we've spoken about it before that it's not very exciting, but we used to work together. So Ari used to work for Newsround at CBBC, and I worked in CBeebies. And
eyes met
over a telly tubby
across a Mr. Tumble toy. I knew I wanted to work in telly, and we sort of had a very brief encounter at a uni party way back when. But yeah, we met properly when I started at BBC, and then our love just blossomed from there. All happened after one evening at a party back at old TVC in Television Centre in London. Yeah, and then that was it. Yeah. And here we are, like, literally 10 years later. So, yeah, thank you, BBC.
It's like the TV version of, like, The Office kind of romance, like meet you by the photocopier in 5 minutes, or see you in the kitchen for a cup of tea.
How does that go down? Like, do you, you know, did everyone know that you got together that night? And then is it with, like, lots of rumours flying around? Or did you have to just try and keep it a secret for a bit?
Do you know what? I don't actually know. Maybe they were talking behind my back, but I wasn't aware, because I was on work experience at the time. And Ari being a presenter on children's TV, I was a bit like, I just don't want anyone knowing, because I don't want anyone to think, oh, I know what her game is.
Yeah.
But also, a work experience girl. I did my work experience at the BBC, but I was only 15 at the time. So you never want that to be mixed up, do you? In terms of, like, no, how old were you when you were doing your work experience there?
I was 21.
Yeah.
Yes,
So different, a lot different to 15.
Oh, good for that. Okay, great. And then what was the sort of train of events after that? So what happened? Was there like a whole kind of dating process that went on?
Yeah, no, it was a bit of a weird dating process, because the BBC was actually about to move up to Manchester. And I wasn't sure if I was going to go or not. Being on work experience. So we kind of had this sort of first 3 months of really cool dating, where we were both living in London and we were seeing each other. It's really exciting. And then it came, BBC are moving to Manchester. And Ori was going with Newsround. I wasn't sure if I was going or not. So luckily, thankfully, got a job there, and we both moved up separately into our own flats, because we'd only been seeing each other, like, sort of by this point, like 5 months. Yeah. And then, yeah, we both moved up to Manchester, and then we lived there for 7 years, literally.
Oh, wow.
Living the dream. We were like two young professionals. We then got a flat together in a lovely part of Manchester called Spinningfields at the time, which was...
Yeah. I know it. Yeah.
It's amazing. But when we moved there, there was literally nothing there. No one knew what Spinningfields was, and over the years it just, like, went crazy with all these bars and, like, nightlife. Oh, it was amazing. So we just lived there for 7 years, literally living the life, no kids, no worries, just going out, doing what we wanted to do, and it was really fun, actually.
And so then fun. Yeah, how did the conversation go from living the life in Spinningfields, being out all the time, to actually, come on, we need to settle down and have kids now?
Well, do you know what it was? It was one of those things where we'd been up in Manchester for a while, and then Strictly came along, and we'd been looking, because all our family are back down south. Ori's family live in Dorset, mine live down in Kent, and it just got to the point where we were like, we just need something to help us move back down, because all of our work was up in Manchester. So Strictly came along, da, 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 and we were like, yes, great.
With the tans and the sequins.
It was amazing. So after Strictly, after he won it, we were able to then, with work, move back down to London. I think that was the point then. I was still working in TV at the time for a couple of other companies. And we then just decided, well, we're back down south now. We're closer to our family. I always wanted to have kids quite young. Like, I wanted to have a little baby before I was 30, and I said that to Ori, so he already knew that. And so it just felt like the right sort of time, that we'd moved back, we had a flat, yeah, Ori was working back down in London a lot more, and then we just felt, yeah, that was that we could do it now.
It's really nice that you guys spent, well, it's really special that time before kids. Georgia and James also had that sort of long extended period where they were just figuring each other out and going out and having all the fun and traveling and holidays and stuff. So I guess when the moment came around, you guys felt really ready to do it. It's a massive step.
Yeah, we always talk about that time where it's like, do you remember that time in Manchester? Do you remember that time we used to go out and just have like no fears? We'd just be like, should we just go for dinner tonight? Or should we just go meet some friends? Or, you know, so yeah, we always talk about that time as the Manchester time. Yeah.
But also like things that you could do before the kids came along. Like I want to ask you this, Portia, you know, was it anything now as a mother that you absolutely had zero idea around? Because obviously people talk about this, the lack of sleep and, you know, the feeding and X, Y, and Z. But is there anything that really took you by surprise when you became a mother?
Do you know what it was? And I kind of thought I'd be like this anyway. And I'm from people that follow me on Instagram or know me, they know I'm quite sort of easygoing and I'm like, yeah, but I am a bit of a worrier. So I think since becoming a mum, the constant just worry, and I don't mean as in like sitting there worrying about something, but the worry of like, you know, has he eaten right stuff today? Is he going to be okay at school today? You know, has he had a good night's sleep today? Like just that, just constant, like before Roman, I didn't really have any real like worries. Like obviously you have like work worries and all that kind of stuff, but I just feel like you have a daily worry when you become a parent. Like it's just that, yeah, that thing of like, is he going to be cold? Is he going to be too hot? Is he going to, you know, it's just, I don't,
is he going to hurt himself? Am I going to have to go to A&E?
Yeah. Are you going to trip over that rug that I've put down there and you've had down there for like, you know, the last 3 years of your life, you keep trying to trip over it. You know, it's just, it's just that constant, your brain is always on, I think is the thing that I wasn't prepared for.
Do you know what? It's so true. And I think even if you go away and you have time away from your children, you still have that little thing in your head. And I'm not sure what it is, but you don't ever fully just relax. It's odd. It's so odd. I mean, I'm hoping that maybe when the kids are 18, maybe something goes off in your brain and you just go,
no way.
Oh, I don't feel like that anymore.
No. I don't think you do.
It'll be something else.
Yeah, it will be. It will be something else. My mum says, she, in fact, most of the conversations start with, darling, you're back on my worry list. And I'll be like, oh God, I don't want to be on the worry list. What are you worried about? She goes, nope. You and your sister, you're off my worry list for this. I'm like, oh, thank God for that. I felt like I was okay. Yeah, so good. I'm glad. But yeah, like you said, I think it's just different worries and different things that come in. I think it was cruel of my friends that didn't have children, that did have children, not to mention to me that you will be woken up every single morning without fail by a child coming in at 6 a.m. going, Mummy. Mummy, I haven't waited for my clock. Well, why the fuck haven't you? Because you should have done. That's why I've got a clock there. So yeah, I feel like the sleep thing is a big thing and the worry thing is a big thing, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, the sleep. Yeah, I just was like, everyone was like, oh, is Roman so much better now? Because obviously you've got to get that sleep in before the newborn rounds. I'm like, what sleep? Like, what sleep? Roman keeps going through these phases of just being awake at night. Or coming in, like you say, at 5 and going, Mummy, the beautiful sun is up on his little clock. And then I go in his room and it's still not. And I'm like, where is it then?
Not.
He's like, outside. Because it's sun.
Yes.
Yes. What's the age gap going to be when the new baby comes along?
3.5 years difference.
3.5 years.
Great.
And did you plan that? Like, did you plan that's what you wanted?
No, because selfishly my sister was going to get married last year but she couldn't because of COVID. So we were planning to have a baby a lot earlier than this. But I didn't want to be pregnant at my sister's wedding. So we waited and we held off, and then COVID happened, and then we waited that bit longer. And then finally my sister got married about a month ago, and I was pregnant because we just thought we can't wait any longer. I wanted them to be quite close. In an ideal world, I'd like them to be closer, but it's fine. It's cool. Roman, like, he's at a lovely age now. And I'm kind of happy about that. Like he really gets it as much as he can at 3. But yeah, he's super helpful as well when he wants to be.
Are you worried about bringing in a new baby in terms of, are there any fears around the bonding or the love or how he's going to react? Have you, what are your feelings around that?
Do you know what? I'm not actually, me and Ori were talking about this the other day, and I'm not, in the sense of he is so loving. And when he's around any baby, if he sees a baby, he's like, oh, mommy, that baby is so cute. And he's like waving at it. And like, he loves children, like he loves babies. The only thing I am worried about is he is a real mommy's boy. And he wants my attention 24/7. So that's the only thing I am going to be slightly worried about. He loves babies, and I know he's going to be so gentle and he's going to be kissing the baby and loving it. But it will be when he realizes that I'm not his soul, you know, I'm not like just with him 24/7, that I'll be like, you know, oh, go and do that, you know, mommy needs to, you know, feed the baby or whatever. I think that we might have a slight issue with that, but we'll see.
We'll be right back after the short break.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
So welcome back, back to this episode of Made by Mamas. Where were we?
Do you have any fears around like bonding with another child? I know Zoe and I mean, we've spoken about this a lot. I didn't ever plan on having like more than one child. My husband really wanted to have more. And for ages when I was pregnant, I was just really confused and unsure. And then as soon as she arrived, obviously it was all fine and I knew it was the right decision. But I definitely really worried about how could I possibly put in so much love and attention to someone else when I already had all my everything. Do you know what I mean? I already felt like I had everything I wanted.
Yeah, I understand where you're coming from. I think, yeah. I mean, the love thing, I think, I mean, Ori comes from quite a big family. He's got two sisters and a brother, and I'm one of three. And I don't know, I think love-wise, I think I could easily see myself loving another baby because, you know, I just, I love Roman so much, and he is, don't get me wrong, he has his moments, but, you know, I can imagine the love spreading. And I think the thing is, Ori and I were saying the other night to each other that when you're expecting your first one, you have no idea what they're going to look like or be like, or you've got no idea. Whereas this time we've got something to go off that I think it's almost a bit more exciting, the anticipation. I know that every child is different. You've got something to go off, whereas like first time round, you're just like, I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to, I don't know how I'm going to love this child. I don't know how I'm going to be as a mum. So this time round, I am a lot more excited. And I'm looking forward to him having a brother or sister because he's driving us mad with the amount of playing he wants us to do now. Mummy, can you come play with me? Mummy, can you? And I know there'll be an age gap, but there will come a point where they'll play together and I'll just be like,
Yeah.
And it will be lovely when it happens.
Yeah, I put my eldest in charge of my daughter all the time. And there's about 3 years between them. And it has just got to the stage now where I can be like, Axel, you're in charge. Yes. And he kind of looks at me like, what? But it does work. It does work sometimes. That's
yeah, and you
dream.
Wait a couple of years, Portia, and Roman will be able to like do the breakfast. Like Isla does it now. I'm like, you go down and get your brother and sister breakfast. You can do all that. And off she goes and she loves it, gets the bowls out and does everything. And I'm like, this is great.
I haven't thought about that. That is a dream.
The next thing you need to do is how they can bring you a cup of tea upstairs. I mean, I would start the training now, you know, toy kettles, toy teapots.
He does love helping in the kitchen. Anytime I go, I say it's dinner time, he goes, can I help, mummy? So he loves helping. So that is good. That is a good trick.
The words that every mother, every parent dreads hearing, can I help, mummy? And you're like, oh God, I hate cooking. And now I've got to do it and I've got to share it with someone. No. For all the parents listening that love cooking, no, it is a lovely moment. It just, you know, all the vegetables don't look neat and cut properly, and that just gets in my OCD-ness.
I hear you. When he says he wants to help, I'm like, okay, I'll tell you what, you can literally pour the pasta into the pan and off you go. Mummy will call you when it's ready.
Because Portia, you have spoken about your sort of issues, I guess, or your concerns around Roman's like terrible twos and the tantrums and the scratching. You did a really powerful post on it. So just talk to us about that period, and are you out the other side?
So, yeah, I mean, it's a period that you don't really ever want to come to, and you hope you're going to be one of those parents. I always think you're like, my child never hit or scratched or did anything like that. But Roman did do a bit of that. And I think now we're kind of out the other side. He does have his moments where he still will get really upset and he'll sort of say no and sort of do a bit of a hand gesture towards you. But there was a period, especially it was when he was at pre-nursery. So he would have been about 2.5. And yeah, he was doing a lot of sort of scratching and hitting. And now we're kind of out the other side. We figured out what it is with the help of the school, that he had delayed speech, and which I've spoken about a bit on my Instagram. He now is having extra help at school for it. And I think it came from a frustration. Like he couldn't communicate what he wanted to say or how he was feeling. So he would just sort of hit you, or he would to get your like, or scratch you if he was annoyed by what he couldn't say verbally. Yeah. And we've seen a huge difference. He's having some help with his speech at his school, which is actually just finishing this term. So he's been doing that for about a year now. And I mean, the difference is crazy because he can communicate now. So he's still, as little toddlers do, they still get annoyed if you say, no, you can't have something, or
yeah,
you don't do that, you're going to hurt yourself. And he's like, what? But we don't see as much of the hitting or the scratching anymore. So
that's good. How did they kind of diagnose him with delayed speech, or what made you sort of flag that?
Do you know what? I think I kind of suspected it, and quite a few mums have sort of been messaging me and saying, like, you know, what, how did you approach it, how did you, you know, it was actually Roman's school that came to me first. I thought, compared to his little friends, but he has a lot of girlfriends, and I don't know whether that's a thing, but like a lot of his girlfriends, their speech was like really good, they were like chatting loads, and he was still at the kind of one word sort of stage. And I thought, maybe he should be sort of stringing some more words together. And I remember mentioning it to Ori, and he was like, oh, I'm sure he's fine, he'll just learn it in his own time. Which they all do, you know. Roman was at 2.5, was really good at catching a ball, but he couldn't put two words together. So I was kind of, it kind of played in the back of my mind a little bit. And then one day his teacher rang me and just asked for a chat and said, we don't think his speech is quite where it needs to be. Would you like some help with it? And it kind of, when she said it, it kind of made me feel a bit better, like as in I had sort of noticed it myself. So so he just once a week has half an hour with a speech specialist at the school. And we've just seen over the last like nearly a year, he has just gone on in leaps and bounds. And, you know, I don't want anyone to be listening thinking, oh gosh, I need to go out and get speech help, because there's a lot of children that just do it in their own time. Yep. And it will be generally when they start nursery or they'll start school, that's when things get picked up anyway. And the teachers who see so many children will know if they're sort of falling behind in their speech, you know, because as parents, we probably just like, oh, I'm sure they're fine. You know, they'll catch up. I'm sure he'll string a sentence together in no time. And he might have well have done, but we just wanted to do that little extra help for him. So
it's very hard to know when is the right moment to go and ask for help and to seek help somewhere. And we did a podcast on this a couple of weeks ago, actually, because sometimes you think, oh, well, you know, it's just because they're slightly delayed and, you know, they'll catch up and you leave it and leave it and leave it. And then it's only a little bit further down the line that you realize, oh, actually, hang on, there might be a slight problem here. So it's really difficult, isn't it, to be able to gauge when you seek intervention, specialist help, whatever you know, whatever you want to call it. But well, yeah, well done for doing it.
Oh, totally. And that was the thing that we discussed with the school, that it was like, do we sort of like, I don't say nip it in the bud, but like, do we look at it now at pre-nursery before he gets into nursery? Because where his school is, nursery goes into a bigger class. They just wanted to make sure that he was able to keep up with learning and be where his other peers were, just in the sense of just being able to understand, communicate and things like that. So we just went for it there and then. But a lot of children will start at the age of three, will do their nursery for a little bit, and then they might need some extra help later on. But
I'm thinking about Kit's lisp quite a lot at the moment. Do any of yours have it? Does Roman have a lisp? Or
No, he doesn't.
No, I'll tell you what I've noticed with Gigi. She, everything is house. And, you know, I don't know what it is. It's like, it's this, she always does this when she's talking. And I'm like, where has she got that from? Like, what? Is she trying to pout? Like, what? It's so weird, isn't it? Like, how they pick up these little, I don't know. But I think, when we were talking to the speech therapist, she was saying that lisps, like, so many children just grow out of them, don't
they? It's just so bad. Like, everything's like, I mean, it's in, like, so it's cute. So, so cute. And it's nothing like so that. But cute. It's got, I think it's getting worse. It's like, and then I'm like, well, surely, well, he never had a dummy. He doesn't have like a comforter or anything. Maybe he'll just, and Doz is saying, oh, Luna had a lisp as well. And I'm like, are you just saying that? When does she have a lisp? I don't think she did. But I guess it's one of those things. He'll start school next September in 2022. And then there'll either be the phone call or there won't be the phone call. Do they call you about lisps? I don't even know.
I don't know. I don't know. My dad had a lisp when he was a kid, and then he doesn't have one now. Yeah. He just grew out of it. I think he said he got to about the age of like 7 or 8 and it just went, and that was it.
Right.
Gone.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow.
Ed Sheeran, I'm getting names wrong left, right and center this morning. Ed Sheeran also had a terrible stammer. And he was virtually kind of mute with it. He just couldn't, because obviously when you keep stammering, they just kind of, you know, backtrack and don't say anything. And it was only through like singing and his music that he managed to kind of grow out of it, I guess, or teach himself out of it. But yeah, it's pretty cool, isn't it? And now he's like the most famous musician in the world.
Yeah.
And obviously has no problems talking or communicating or singing at all.
No, not at all. And then should we talk about baby number two arriving?
Yep.
Birth plan?
Do you know what? I haven't properly thought about it yet, but I think I'm going back to my original plan, which is what I wanted with Roman, but never got round to. I would like a water birth. I say this in because nothing ever goes to plan. No. And so, yes, I would like a water birth, which is what I wanted with Roman. I think that's as far as I've got so far. I mean, ideally, I'd like Ore to be around because he is for the birth, because he's currently going on tour and he's going to be away until 2 weeks before the baby's due. So I'm trying to keep my legs crossed until he gets home.
For sure.
So ideally, the birth plan is that he's home and that I could have a water birth. That's the two things at the moment.
So how was your birth first time round?
Do you know what? And it's that weird thing. And I know it's that weird thing of saying it was a good birth that you always feel bad about.
No, don't feel bad.
No, don't. We love hearing about good births.
I know. But do you know what? It's just one of those inbuilt things. I think.
Yeah, I get it.
I have so many friends who have had like difficult births, long births. And then they go, and how was yours? And you're like, it was really good. And then you you just feel like one of those dicks. So, but no, it was. And it was, I actually got induced with Roman at 39 weeks. And for personal reasons. And he then ended up coming really quickly from the moment that I was induced. I didn't need any intervention, literally just within 4 hours he was there. So yeah, it was really quick, but like Ore was in the background playing some music, being really supportive, and doing a bit of dancing as well probably. And it was pretty straightforward. We had a little moment in the labor room where he was coming too quickly and they thought that his heart rate had dropped, But it wasn't anything that we needed to worry about at that moment in time. So yeah, no, it was really good. And then next thing I knew, he was actually in my arms. So
wow.
Yeah, the midwife actually said to me, which is why we're going a slightly different route this time, was that just make sure you're near your hospital for your second one, because the first hospital is the other side of London, and we're not being induced with this one. So they just said, just make sure you're near the hospital. Otherwise you won't make it, because second babies tend to come a little bit quicker, quickly than the first. So I'm hoping for that. It'd be nice, because, you know, everyone wants a sort of a quicker.
Yeah.
Quick and easy one.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you can plan for anything, it's that, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. No one wants a long, drawn out one.
Oh, God. No. I love the quick and easy stories as well, because I think it almost takes people a bit more by surprise, because you don't, like you said, you don't necessarily hear about the positive quick ones. You often hear about the more traumatic kind of long, drawn out versions of labour. So yeah, the quick and easy ones, like George's one. Boom.
Yeah. Yeah. Second one, hour and a half.
That's
we go.
See, and that's the thing, because I think because I got induced as well, obviously, and they have to, you know, the midwives gives you all the scenarios and, you know, all of the sort of, you know, your the what's going to happen next. So, and when you go to your NCT classes and they say, you know, this will be 8 hours, potentially, could be shorter, could be longer. This bit can be this bit. You're thinking, okay. So when it started, I sort of had in my head first time round, okay, so I'll be doing this for a few hours. Okay. And then I'm saying to Ari, I think you need to get the midwife. I think this is happening really quickly, like really quickly. And I was sort of
really?
I told him, like, or, you know, sort of the process and sort of how many hours roughly or things would take. But yeah, no, it was super quick. And I wasn't prepared for that in a way. I'd heard, like you say, I'd heard so many, like, this is how long it would take. So and then it kind of comes by such surprise. You're like, oh, okay, I'm not ready. I'm not ready.
Sorry, wait, we're here for a few more hours. What are you, no.
Takes me this long to make a lasagna at home.
Do you know what, though? There's so much scaremongering around induction. And actually, we've had quite a few people on. I had a positive induction experience. You've had a positive induction experience. I think Binky, I think when we chatted to her, there's been quite a few really positive stories. So if anyone is listening to this and they've been to a class and kind of been, I don't know, sort of a bit scared about induction, then don't be, because as you say, you are more likely to hear the scary induction stories than you are the positive ones. And it doesn't have to be like that. And it's just different for everyone. Everyone's body reacts to the induction in a different way.
So
don't be scared if you're listening. It's absolutely fine. Sending you all of the positivity.
No, I really loved it. I loved it. I went into hospital, knew when I was having the baby. It was all really prepared. I loved it.
I still can't believe that people put these things in your head, or at least we're still conditioned by society on what labour should look like and how we should have our babies and, you know, C-section, not a natural birth, all this bullshit that we just gobble up daily. And, you know, if anybody's listening and they're a first time mum, like, however you deliver your baby, you are an absolute superhuman.
Exactly.
And it just doesn't look a certain way, and don't be caught up in people's language around it. You know, oh, did you have any pain intervention? Oh, you had pethidine as well as, you know, I took all of it. I took all the drugs. I needed all the pain relief, because people deal with pain differently, and that's absolutely fine too. You know,
those sort of questions they do irritate you. Like, you know, I agree. Like this, and I think a lot of questions like that will come from people who haven't had children as well. And they'll say, oh, so you didn't do that. Or especially like parents as well. Oh, you did have an epidural. Oh, okay. It's like,
we didn't do that in our day.
Yeah. I absolutely did anything. Just hand it over. I will take it.
Oh my goodness. Definitely. Absolutely.
Well, listen, do you know what? I feel like we could sit and chat to you all day, but it's sad times. We've kept you long enough, I think. But we're really excited to find out how second baby comes along, and we are, and whether or not you did pain relief. We'll be expecting all of your post-birth notes.
Yeah. We'll
have a
find
full
out.
Review.
We'll also find out if it's a girl or a boy, because we're keeping that as a surprise.
Yes.
Oh, have you, like, let's do a guess. Guess now, and then we can go back and refer.
Okay.
What do you think?
Well, I knew Roman was a boy. Okay. So I knew Roman was a boy from like day one. And when he came out and the midwife said, he's a boy, I was like, yeah, I knew it. I think, oh gosh, I feel pressure now. I almost haven't said this out loud. I think it's a girl.
Okay.
I think.
Tenner says it's a boy. Let's put money on it. George, where are you at?
Made by mamas are boy.
Boy.
Usher. Girl.
Girl.
Right.
Just to give it some jeopardy.
We'll check back in.
Let's. I love the surprise. It's so good. And like I drive my friends and family mad because they're like, just find out, will you? I'm like, no, I love it.
I couldn't not find out. I'd probably be like trying to find a way that I could look inside my stomach.
Looking down to your stomach. Yeah. Where are my x-ray glasses?
It's like, how can I find this out?
Good luck with it all.
Good luck. Yeah. Thank you so much.
It's been lovely chatting. Bye, lovely.
Bye. Thanks.
I feel good after that. I feel like she's lifted
me.
Me
too. Same. Sometimes, you know, we have these chats and they're really serious and I come away and I feel like I have a lot of thinking to do.
Yeah.
But actually, I just come away from that feeling light and happy and giggly.
Yeah.
And feels good. Feels really good.
Yeah, she's really fantastic, and I liked her kind of view on her honesty on the, because both you and I struggled a little bit with bonding with, you know, number two, and she was just kind of like, no, do you know what, I get it, like we come from big families and I know about the love, you know, that there's going to be, you think you aren't going to be able to unlock any more love from your heart, and then second baby comes along and you're like, all right, there you go, it's just boundless sort of piles of heaps of it,
there's loads to be shared. Exactly.
Yeah, and also kind of going through second pregnancy on her own, you know, because Aura's heading away on tour and she's basically going to be doing the last 15 weeks solo whilst looking after Roman as well. So she's got a big journey. I reckon we should get like meet up with her and have a cup of coffee because...
Yeah, definitely. Actually, I think that obviously that happens, not quite a lot, but in certain industries that maybe are perceived as being glamorous, like, you know, the showbiz world or even sport, quite often when partners spend a long period of time away, it can be really daunting when you're pregnant because, you know, like in the middle of the night, how many times would you feel like, oh my God, am I going into labour? And then you've got a child in the next room and it's not as easy as just, okay, let's get up, let's go together. Or one of you get, you know, you get up and you go by yourself and the child's at home with your partner.
Yeah.
When they're not there, it is quite difficult. And you think, oh, what if they're on the other side of the country and what am I going to do? But she seems to be handling it really well. And hopefully that 2 week, him getting back 2 weeks before, she'll be all right.
Yeah, definitely. She said, didn't she? Cross your legs till then. She said that.
Keep him or her in.
Exactly. Oh yeah, we got a tenner on that,
him.
George.
Him. Let's put it out there.
I'm on the boy. Listen, as always, we would absolutely love you to rate, review, subscribe and follow the podcast. And we also adore seeing where you're listening to us as well. So keep those photos coming in.
Yeah, please do keep tagging us. And if you have got any suggestions for guests that you'd like us to chat to, just drop us a DM. We're on @MadeByMamas or on Zoe's own channel @ZoeHardman. And we'll be back on Friday.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
It's time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com.